Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going?
For a second, it was just me, and I was like, oh my gosh, no one is coming.
How disappointed would you be?
Okay. And I so it's really hot here today, and my home office is in my attic. So I'm instead at my kitchen table, which means I don't have my big monitor. I only have my tiny 13 inch. So I'm even more Zoom impaired than usual when screen sharing. So please yell or something if you're not getting called on, because it's hard to see all the things. I finally updated the TC member list so we could get the notes rotation recovered. Both Florian and Ingolf had recently done notes to my memory, so I started with Julian, but he's not here. Apparently, this was a completely useless endeavor because it was Julian followed by Maccabee, and it looks like neither one of them are here.
Julian is
So,
on vacation.
okay, and Kevin is out. Is Shelly here? Shelly is not here, and I know Jeff is not here. Christy, all right, want to take notes?
I will give it my best shot.
Okay. Yeah, just give it your best shot. The only tip I would give is that we try to record the Zoom chat by just pasting it in here. And it's, you can grab it from the recording too, but it comes out formatted better if you get it from the, like, inside the meeting. So the ICS files. Oh, the Zoom link is wrong. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So at one point, it was just that they were switched. Like the Monday one said discussion meeting and the Wednesday one said main meeting. I think that I can just make a new ICS file from my Outlook and upload it. So I will try to remember to do that.
Great, thank you.
Maybe.
Yeah, the dedicated discussion one was actually also on set to Monday, and it apparently had the wrong link. So, yeah, the Monday ICS file seems fine, but the Wednesday one seems to not be quite fine.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And I decided because so many people are out that we're just going to hold off on any more discussion about co-chair and that kind of stuff until Monday, because there's too many people out to give everybody a chance to weigh in that might want to. Okay. So we'll jump right to the breaking changes discussion then. So, I guess there's kind of two pieces to this. One is that TC had previously done some work around breaking changes. And I went through and read all of this older stuff earlier. And a lot of this was around defining what a breaking change is. But the questions that we're facing in a current breaking change issue are more around deciding whether you should make a breaking change in the first place and communicating that change. We had a one of these Wednesday meetings about communicating breaking changes. That's what this link is. But it doesn't look to me like we necessarily ever fully followed up on it. And it also seems like some of the communication things that were recommended are being done in the current case, like opening PRs and issues for the teams affected by the breaking change. But that communication seems to have not been effective in this case. Like it's coming across as like this very last minute thing, even though the issue that the team is making this breaking change for, this mod invent is like from 2022. So that's kind of where things stand right now. I don't know how much folks have read the conversation in Slack or GitHub or on the issues. But I guess maybe so. It seems like what we're mostly talking about is not the definition of what a breaking change is, but what kind of process we want people to go through once when they're going to make one. Because right now, this is kind of causing a lot of friction. And is there anything we could do to make it less frictionful in the future? So, with that said, does anybody want to start?
Which part are we starting with?
Whatever part people want to start with. To me, it just kind of seems all bundled up. Do we want to set out some guidelines for when you should make a breaking change, or do we want to start out with talking about the communication after you've decided to make a breaking change? Mark?
I mean, if we're going to talk about when we say when we're meant to make a breaking change, do we mean when, as in when is the appropriate time within a release cycle or something like that? Or do we really mean if in the should there be times when effectively a team should be told, actually, we know it'd be really nice if you did this, but no, you're not going to get to do that.
So, given that we rarely can tell teams to do anything, in my mind, I was thinking about a guideline for the if, because the specific question right now that's up is making a breaking change versus adding a parameter. And in this case, like, I think it can be argued that adding the parameter doesn't really fix the problem, but it's the question that came up. Like it was a question about whether this was the right engineering decision, and having that discussion at the point where you're like making PRs on other people's modules seems too late because you've already gone down the path. So maybe it is just all about communication. I'm not sure that. Right, because basically the team made the change, made the breaking change, and then opened their PR on someone's module, and then that person was like, "Hey, this is not the right approach." But by then, everyone is under pressure, and it seems late. Wayne?
I guess a question I have is, under what circumstances would a team that proposes to make a breaking change be incentivized to make their change be more complex and not breaking, in order to reduce the overall cost to the project? Like, there's no incentive, as far as I can tell, for a team to ever do that, right? It's always the simplest thing to just say, oh, okay, this is the new interface, and you need to adjust to it, because that then puts the complexity cost on someone else. So, is there something broken in the way that these things are incentivized, I think is the question I have.
Craig?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point with one caveat though. So, yes, I'm also in favor of keeping things simple, much like you say, that's sort of going to be the default stance of most dev teams, right? However, in this, and you said something along the lines of that pushes the complexity onto other teams. But in this case, I think the team is doing the right thing by actually creating the pull request, doing the work on behalf of the other teams, and just asking for review and approval. It feels like in this case the pushback is one of principle, not so like there's nothing concrete there, right? It's not like, oh well, yeah, if you commit this thing, then we need to drop whatever we're doing and do a whole bunch of work. That's not the case, as far as I understand it. The team is doing the work for other teams and just asking for them, as the maintainers of those modules, to review and approve the changes.
Yeah, that's my understanding too. Zach?
So I agree with everything Wayne has said and everything Craig has said. I think an additional important point here, I guess two, one regarding communication. There was a sense of urgency when this PR, this breaking change was first announced. And it turns out, I think, for UI courses, which is the thread we're talking about, this isn't actually a breaking change, because UI courses doesn't leverage any of the functionality that's being removed. And so it was sort of a false sense of urgency in terms of, hey, we need to get everybody to merge this so that we can get this change into place. But we're just adding compatibility with version 11. And since we don't care about the compatibility that's being removed, it doesn't really matter here, right? So like, yes, there was a breaking change to an interface, but it really doesn't matter in this case. And I think that got lost because of the way the information was presented. And so I guess what I'm saying is there's the technical issue that we need to discuss here, which I think, Wayne, you put your finger on in terms of who bears the onus of the cost. But the social issue here perhaps is one that's at least or more important. And maybe the social one sort of eclipsed the technical one because it maybe even misrepresented the fact that this was a breaking change for some repositories. If you are, you know, using the functionality that is being removed, then this is a breaking change for you. But if you're not using that functionality, which I suspect most repositories aren't at this point, this was sort of just a add compatibility note and a no big deal. And it's too bad we had to make this breaking change, but honestly, I think it's water under the bridge. That's it for me.
Thanks. Mark?
I mean, I agree with what folks are saying. I think to touch on Zach's point about the social complication, the social kind of aspect of this, the social aspect is complicated because due to the way that this stuff works, there is no way to achieve these kinds of changes whilst preserving the autonomy of the teams involved, because you cannot give the team who owns the module that's making the breaking change autonomy and retain the autonomy of the teams who own the competing ones, because either the team making the breaking change does the work to also make the compensating changes in the other team's work, which means that they are effectively stepping into the other team's spaces, or they don't, and therefore they put the burden on them. But that burden comes with a pressure that if they don't do that, then the team who owns the original thing where the breaking change has happened is effectively blocked, because you can't not do this. So I agree with that. This is a social thing. It's a cultural thing rather than a technical thing, really. I mean, there are technical causes or contributing factors to this, but it's mostly a social thing. And the social thing is hard because you're effectively, you've got to step on somebody's toes, no matter what you do effectively in these circumstances. Even though, as I agree with Zach, even though this example seems really very trivial in terms of the actual impact to most of the things that are impacted.
If I can add a little to that, I think, Mark, you really put your finger on it there, because again, the way this was communicated is, we're making this big change, it has this big impact. again, maybe for some repos it had a big impact, but for others it didn't. And so just the impedance mismatch behind, we're making this breaking change, you have to make it now, compared to you have to add interface compatibility for something that has no effect on you. That was difficult to, maybe we didn't all recognize that since it was being presented as a big change, in fact, it wasn't in many cases.
Yeah, and that seems hard because the way it was communicated seems to essentially follow our template of how people announce these things, or at least it's how I've seen people do it before. Yeah. Mark?
And the reason for that is because the template was a first step, right? It's like with a lot of the things in the governance space in Folio, it was the most we could reasonably do as a first step into having something to help people with this because we knew it was an issue, right? It's not a guide to deal with every situation, and it's not a and you can't do that, right? And I think what by the sounds of it, that the one of the challenges with this, and maybe this is something we could address, which is, and I don't know, and we may only address it by raising awareness that this is a thing that folks need to keep in mind, is that the burden for these changes isn't evenly distributed. It almost never is, right? There's almost always some consumer of the interface that is actually affected. In some cases, almost in some cases, but quite often, there are breaking changes that have almost no impact on any of the consumers beyond having to declare compatibility. But when there is impact, quite often, because of how interfaces are constructed in Folio, you'll have some modules that are, and therefore some teams that are actually impacted in terms of behavior or functionality, and some teams that are basically not impacted at all. So there's an unevenness there. And it's very hard to express that kind of level of nuance or such like in a general broad spectrum communication, right? There are ways around that. You folks can talk directly to other teams and have those conversations. I mean, yeah. I mean, there are communication protocols that could be put in place for this. I guess the question for us is, are we the people to put in any a centralized communication protocol for this?
So, TC has a role in resolving disputes. And, dispute is, again, one of those things that can sound more escalating than you really want it to be. Yeah, if not the TC, then who? And if you look at the GitHub, there was some back and forth about about asking TC for advice. And having something written down where, again, like our ability to direct is limited. And the reality is that in a community, sometimes people make changes and you have to suck it up. But doing what we can to eliminate the number of suck it up occasions would be good. Wayne?
So I guess the question, well, the thing that's not quite clear to me is, so I feel like given our prior work, we have laid out some communication suggestions, at least, if not protocol. And is the consensus that those were basically followed and that perhaps it just really is a question of the wording of the message that made it sort of made people bristle? Is that what we're saying? Or are we saying that there was something that was inadequate in how this process played out that created friction that didn't need to be created? And is there something that we can do to improve the process so that it's not So, right, so that it doesn't create friction and suspicion.
Zach?
So I'd say two things to that. One is, I think it largely was the way the message was worded, as you said, caused people to bristle. But I think there is actually an aspect of it that could have been improved, which was we could, or if that message had come with, we want to upgrade this interface version, you've got 6 weeks to do it, as opposed to please merge this PR as soon as possible. So not only changing the wording and perhaps making it more accommodating, but literally changing the wording and changing the timeline to remove the undue sense of time pressure. I think those two things combined would have made a big difference. We might still be having a debate about whether the change was necessary, but if we'd been able to, if that again had come, if the original message had come with some context describing the history of the issue and why it had already been decided that it was necessary, and then gave people the opportunity to merge their changes over time, perhaps that would have helped it land better.
Right.
Yeah, Zach, can you just clarify what you were saying there? So you said something along the lines, if I'm not mistaken, that, or you could say that you have 6 weeks to do this ch to make this change. Are you suggesting that the development team that introduced the breaking change would not be making the compensating changes in other modules in that case? It would be up to the other dev teams to schedule that work within the 6 weeks?
I think it could go either way. In this particular case, the team that was responsible for the change, in my opinion, went out of their way to go ahead and do the work, right? Like they made it really easy for other teams to accept this change, especially in the case of UI courses, where again, UI courses doesn't use any of the functionality being removed. There shouldn't be any objection to the PR in that case, right? Like there's a philosophical objection of like, do we really need a breaking interface? Like, okay, you can object there, but if the context of the original post was, we already made the difficult decision that this breaking change is necessary, and here we've gone ahead and done the work for you, I think it's pretty hard to object in that case. Like, we can agree that it's unfortunate that a breaking change was necessary, but there's really, like, the burden here is pretty much zero.
Okay, so if that's the case, if the team that made the breaking change is still raising the PRs for the other teams in that case and saying, okay, you have X number of weeks or days or whatever it is to merge these changes, I think the challenge there is the longer you have a pull request open, things are changing, things get stale, yeah, then you need to like merge in conflicts and
That,
resolve things. It just becomes a huge pain in the neck, which makes even more work for everyone involved, right?
Sure. That's totally true. The approach that we've taken in the UI with these kinds of things, where, we don't have, let me give you some examples for how we've managed stuff on the UI side. I don't know how well it'll translate as far as dealing with interface compatibility. And so maybe the things I'll suggest are like, well, that's really nice in your ideal world. I don't know if it applies here. But when we know that a change like this is coming, we announce it when the change is being planned and when it's being discussed so that people who it's going to affect can kind of say, oh, I'm worried about this. I think that you shouldn't do it. I think you should wait a release, or I think you should do it that way instead. Or they look at it and say, oh, you're going to break this thing that I don't care about, so it doesn't affect me and I don't have to worry about it. And so then when we announce that this change is finally, all right, we did the work, we took our sprint or our three sprints and we're merging this 6 weeks later, and we announce, hey, we're going to merge those breaking changes today, the answer is sort of ho-hum because people were already anticipating it. So like there's a couple of different ways that I can imagine it happening as far as like, me saying, hey, you've got 6 weeks to merge these changes. I totally agree that we would want to avoid asking a team that wants to make a breaking change to essentially do a bunch of work and then sit on it while they wait for the community. But I think if you try to get ahead of it and announce to the community that this is coming, that maybe gives you the runway, right? Because then that couple of weeks' time is maybe when you're doing that work anyway. And so it's less maintaining a branch over and over and over, and then notifying the community and then waiting, right? Like it's, you sort of take advantage of development life cycle a little bit better. Does that help, Craig?
It does, yeah. And I think communication is really the key to avoiding a lot of these conflicts, right?
Totally agree.
Yeah, I see other hands up, so I'll cede the floor.
Mark?
So I agree. Early communication would be great, and it would be, and you know, maybe if folks felt that they were told early so they could plan for this, even though in this particular case there was basically nothing to plan for, and they could feel like they had some agency in the decision, then that's great. I would advocate for that. I'm a fan of that. Culturally, Folio has maybe not maybe maybe less maybe in the UI space, this is it's true that this is sometimes culturally possible. In pretty much the rest of Folio, in my experience, that has not been possible or not been enacted most of the time. Most of the stuff that happened in Folio and for the last as many years as it's been around has been one of seek forgiveness, not permission. And that mental model effectively means do as much stuff as you can under the radar until it becomes too costly for folks to push back or to say no. That's been a repeated pattern culturally across the board, like in the community. And so I can understand why teams, whether they're doing it consciously or not, are kind of going, you know what? We're not going to talk about this until we've got all our ducks in a row. We've tried stuff out. I mean, the challenge with that afterwards is by giving people a long lead time to merge things or do other things, because of how Folio's technical architecture works, you do have the challenge that that effectively stalls the entire work. Because, and maybe Eureka changes this, I don't know, but certainly in the Okapi days, you if you make a breaking change in a back in an interface provided by a backend module and you don't have all of the consumers in a, books in a row, you can't construct a system at all with that change in it. Which means if you say to people, even if you give them the pull request, you've got 6 weeks to do this. And let's say you've given them 6 weeks notice before you've even done that. Let's say you've been really good citizens and you've given them, let's say you've done all of the things, all of that stuff. You're still effectively saying that the team who presumably has made this change to get some other functionality that they're on the hook for, which comes back to Wayne's incentives challenge. You know, most of the time teams do this because they're on the hook to deliver something. You're effectively saying they've got to wait for, you know, they've got to wait. They've got to put this out there. They've got to wait 6 weeks or however long from the first announcement to see if folks like it, don't like it, all of that kind of jazz. And what happens if folks say no? You know, folks say no. Do we do? Do they have to? Who carries the can back to the customer to say, really sorry, but folks have said no, so you're not getting this feature. I have no idea if this applies to this particular example, but it has in the past. If folks say yes, do you tell them that there's, you know, there's a minimum of a 12-week lead time to actually be able before you can even test this thing, right? And some of this is technical, some of this is planning, some of this is cultural. There's a lot of stuff mixed up in here. We've had this challenge in other spaces in the TC. You know, the TC has been given feedback repeatedly that when folks have come to the TC to talk about stuff, things take too long for us to work through these things, for them to want to talk to us because they're on the hook to do stuff. So early communication is great. Seeking input is great. And all of these other things are also all good things. They are things that are currently not super well aligned, as far as my experience goes, with a lot of how Folio, with a lot of how the Folio community operates. So if you, if we want to put stuff in place like that, we're going to have to figure out how to change the culture on that. If we're going to do
Is there a reason that's less of a problem on the UI side? Like why that culture is different on the UI side?
UI developers are better. I think it's the UI is relatively small compared to the back end. The number of modules we have is relatively small, and the framework, as it were, that you're interacting with across applications is relatively small, right? Like all applications interact with Stripes, but the applications are relatively independent, as opposed to UI applications that, consume anywhere from, one to 50 interfaces. If you look at something like UI requests or UI inventory, that's looking at, users and inventory data and holdings and items and instance data and, requests and loans and blah, 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 right? Like lots and lots and lots of back-end interfaces are being consumed, but there's only sort of a handful of core Stripes interfaces that are being consumed. And so the problems just sort of get exacerbated when you're looking at communication among, 50 different modules as opposed to 50 different modules communicating with one in the case of Stripes. So
That makes
I'd say
sense.
we have the same problems, but they're just sort of multiplied. At the same time, like I agree with what a lot of what Mark says in terms of it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission because building consensus in a large community is really hard. It's like there's friction in the universe, and we still build rocket ships. It's hard, but we can do it. And maybe sometimes, not that we have to plow ahead, but I don't know, figuring out how to convince people that we don't necessarily like the decisions that we have to make, but we need to make them anyway. I don't know. It's Craig and Mark and you and I have, many of us have been through, how can we make this process better? How can we make it faster? How can we make it, more public or more acceptable? We've discussed a lot of different ways around it, and I think it's just hard. So maybe open communication is sort of the best that we can do. That doesn't mean it's going to make it easy and fast, but maybe it's the best we can do.
Mark?
So how does that turn into actual stuff the TC is going to change about its policies or the stuff that it's advocating for? Because from what I can tell, we've had basically no involvement in this particular circumstance. Where what we're why we're being asked to get involved is because nobody came to us to ask for mediation, right? As far as I'm aware,
There
nobody.
were co just there were conversations not in the main channel. Yes.
Okay. They directly asked for the TC to mediate, or did they or
Not to mediate, more like this situation is happening. It's unpleasant. What can we do? Is there something
okay.
TC could do to help?
Okay. So I guess there's two aspects to that. There's the help in this particular circumstance to do whatever smoothing of the ways that we can do. And then there's help in the general sense of how do we provide better guidance to try and reduce the chances of this? Which of those do we want to do? And if it's the latter, how do we turn the previous half an hour's conversation into actual things we can have an impact on? I'm particularly conscious that most of the talking has been done by non-TC members so far, including me.
I think the input from folks that are directly involved in this kind of stuff is really helpful, which is not a lot of the TC. Wayne?
It seems to me, and maybe this is naive, but it seems to me that we have prior work that we can refer to. We could, in a forum like the Folio development channel, say, "Hey, just want to remind you that this is these are our recommendations as a community, right? Because we're the elected representatives of the community. As a community, we agreed that that we would try to follow these recommendations when we need to introduce breaking changes. And we'd like to just remind you of that and, you know, take this opportunity to do that. I mean, is that just too naive and a waste of time, or is that a useful thing? Because of course, you know, I didn't look at the date on the RFC, but you know, we're talking about work that's at least a year and a half old, right? And the community changes over time, and standards may not be communicated to development team members, and it's kind of a bummer to say, hi, developer, you need to fix this bug. Oh, and now you need to, stand before the entire development community and defend your work, right? That's, you know, that's not really what they signed up for. So.
Yeah. And that the RFC didn't really cover the communication piece. Everything that, all of the discussion about the communication piece is still just in meeting minutes. So I think surfacing those out of the meeting minutes into like an actual documentation page might be part of what we can do also. Mark?
To Christy's question, an RFC is a request for comments. It's in Folio land, it's the TC's way of teams or parts of the community bringing something to the TC for input and endorsement over significant changes to Folio from a technical perspective. I agree. So it sounds like we've got some very tangible things we can do, which is to turn the things that we talked about communication of these sorts of things, of breaking changes, into an actual policy that the TC endorses and communicate that out. I mean, those sound like concrete actions we can take. I may have misunderstood previously. I think that's a good thing for us to do, irrespective of anything else we do. I may have misunderstood previously. My understanding is that, unknowingly, potentially, the team who made the breaking change in this context did effectively do what we've put in those policies, though, haven't they? They did put a notice out on a place, didn't I believe, that said, we're making a breaking change and here it is. And they submitted pull requests to try and help out the teams with the workload, right? So I guess the question I would have is, did the team not do those things? Did the team not do the things that we will be eventually communicating? Or if they did, where does that leave us?
So I'll opine for 1 second. I think they did. I think that what we might include when we write this up is some advice. I know we have this on some other document where we kind of say, here's some things that might make your thing go over better. Because I think the thing that was missing maybe was that explanation, like, we have thought this through. We know it's not great, but we believe this is what needs to be done. Because like looking at the Slack exchange, there was like the announcement and then a, well, why are you doing this? And the, well, why are you doing this? Didn't seem to have a lot of good, not good faith, but like good intention. Like it was like, it didn't seem to have believed that they would have thought this through and had a good reason for doing it. And so encouraging people to include the context of their good reason for doing it in the announcement might help. Yeah, policy versus guidelines is like, I don't know that. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how much difference we have right now. Anyway, Zach?
I think the context that you mentioned is really important, and that's something that was missing in the original post. In this particular case, I also think the false sense of urgency of, we're making this change, you know, please merge it ASAP. Please do this work right now. I think is never going to land well. if you're learning about something for the first time and it's work that you think is maybe questionable, it's really not going to land well. So even though here the work was minor, it's still just the presentation caused a lot of grief, I think, and was the biggest part of the problem.
Yeah. Wayne?
To Zach's point of the, even though this was not really a large change for most of the affected modules, there is the cognitive overhead, right, of having to say, oh, okay, so this thing is here now and I have to deal with it and I have to decide if it's a big deal or not, right? Like that's a context switch. It's unscheduled work. As Zach said, it's never going to go over real well.
All those things, right? Like when you hear about something for the first time and are told that you need to do this right now, like that's a problem for developers. It's a problem for POs. It's a problem for Scrum Masters. Like ASAP is always going to be difficult for teams.
Yeah. The other point I wanted to make, I think to Mark's question, and maybe to some of Jen's comments, is that by posting this thing that we're thinking about posting, reminder of our community covenant, we're not just directing this at the development team that is proposing a breaking change or has made a breaking change. We're also directing this at the rest of the community saying, hey, this is actually how things are supposed to work, right? And so, don't get mad just because someone is proposing a breaking change. This is like the mechanism by which breaking changes are being are communicated. So it's a reminder that goes both ways.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Mark?
Given that it sounds like we might be extending some of the stuff that we want to say in this guidance or this advisory, maybe it's worth dedicating some time in the TC to properly deal with that, to properly go through it, review it, decide if it says all the things we want, like the please give as much time as possible, please only ask for urgency if it's absolutely necessary, all that kind of jazz. Please explain why this change is important and it needs to be done so that folks don't, so folks can at least understand why this surprise burden has come about. If we're going to do something, if we're going to go, it does sound like we need to just put some effort into taking this out of some meeting notes and putting it into something we can actually publish somewhere. Whatever we call it. Do we want to put something in there, if there isn't already, about, because all of this so far, all of this stuff that we talked about is the onus on the folks making the breaking change about what the expected behavior is from them. Do we want to also take this opportunity to say something about what we think being a good citizen is in reverse? Like, I get the cognitive load stuff that everybody's talking about from a, like, I did this merry-go-round many times whilst I was actively involved in development teams on Folio, so I'm very aware of how most works out. At the same time, for something where it literally is, okay, I was in my module descriptor, I was declaring support for version 1.0 and version 1.0, and now I'm declaring support for 1.0 and 2.0. There really isn't much cognitive load there at all. If the team has made the breaking change, is submitting that change into each module, and that team is willing to take responsibility, and maybe this is the key missing part, the team is willing to take responsibility for the impact that has on the modules that they are proposing changes to, then JFDI, just let the team that's making the breaking change make the change to the module descriptor and And if it doesn't work, push it back, provide the feedback back to the team making the breaking change. I know that messes with the ownership model some a little bit, but yeah.
Zach?
So specifically in this case, I think your point of, is the team making the change willing to accept responsibility? I don't think that is likely to happen, and I don't see that it was happening here. I think Wayne made a really good point about cognitive load, and even though, as you said, in this specific case, we're adding support for something that effectively has no change in your module, someone still has to think through, all right, is courses using any of that functionality that's being removed? No. And maybe that's easy to assess here, which again is fine. And so this should have been a small thing instead of a big thing. But to Jen's point earlier, the context of what was being removed wasn't provided. And so, like, I run into this all the time when I get stuck on community PR review, where someone's like, they open a PR that says, fix this bug. And I'm like, I can't review that PR, just like I couldn't look at the post here that was, changes interface. Like, changes interface doesn't tell me anything. Are you dropping 99% of the functionality? Are you dropping 1% of the functionality? Like, give me some context so that I don't have to effectively re-triage the entire PR to figure out whether this change, does what it says in the ticket, or whether this interface change is going to impact me, right? Like, provide the context to the developers who you are asking for review. We are removing a tiny slice of stuff so that we can have data integrity on the back end. If you don't send us bad data, then this won't have any effect on you, and you can easily add compatibility with version 11, or if you already accept error messages back from this interface, you can easily add compatibility with version 11 with zero impact. But there was no analysis, there was no context that was provided, and so we were asking every single team, or the team that, even though they opened these PRs, they were effectively asking every single person who was reviewing a PR to go through that analysis without providing any of that context. And so again, that's the context problem that we had here, is that they could have done that work and say, here's the kinds of changes that we're making. Here's the kind of impact we think they will have, or that we think they won't have. But we still are asking you, as the code owner view, as the code owner, to review this, to double check our work and make sure that our analysis is sound and that you agree with us. If it had come through like that, and you would have said, oh, I see the analysis that you did. I agree with it. We're good. What's next? That would have been easy. So again, to me, this is really about communication, both specifically in this case, but also in the general case. Like, that's why providing that kind of context is necessary and is helpful, because it allows other people to both see your point of view, but also to move quickly. And part of the challenge that we're discussing here is, oh boy, community decisions are really hard. Well, give people the tools to make them faster. Don't just say, hey, we made this decision. We need you to agree to it.
Yeah, that's pretty compelling. Alameda?
I agree with more context in the communication. I would advise against very, very wordy guidelines and policies. And there's also a little bit of a discovery problem, where if you want to make a breaking change, if you're able to discover where the policies are. So there's a little bit of that. And a general question I was wondering is versioning of these interfaces a thing we want to entertain going forward? We have illustrated that getting consensus in the large community can be challenging, and I'm wondering if there are technical ways we can use to curb this problem a little bit. But for this specific instance, I think having context as part of the breaking change would be ideal. I've had scenarios where you could say, okay, do this thing within 2 weeks, And then the last hour before the 2 weeks is up, you then get a deluge of comments, and that can push against whatever commitments the team has had overall. So still adding context to the communication will be good. And then, do we want to entertain versioning on these interfaces?
Mark?
So the sense I get is that we're settled. We want to include in whatever minimal guidance that we provide about this, we want to include endorsement of people explaining why the breaking change is being made, what the impact on the consumers of the interface or the consumers of the module is, which is the context that's required to do this. I'm gonna say it again. I think it might be worth us at least thinking about whether we want to make some statements about who's responsible for what, because part of what Alamedy just said, which is, great, you've said you've given somebody a limit of two, you've given somebody who said, please do this in 2 weeks. If they don't know what it is they're supposed to be doing and who is responsible for this, who's actually responsible for this change? Because from what Jack said, we're actually saying, I've submitted a PR to your module that says that I'm making a statement about a change to the statement about what compatibility is. But I, as the team who submitted that PR, hold no responsibility for whether that messes up your module. I think we need to be really careful about whether we're gonna say anything about that and the division of responsibility. But I think we can settle on the why and the impact. Great, fine. Let's figure out how we do that. And I say we when I'm not even a member of the TC anymore. So we is somebody else. I think the topic of whether you can do something technically to reduce the burden here is a completely different topic that folks need to try and think about and probably needs to be addressed in the context of Eureka, as well.
Yeah, I wonder if that might be like an RFC of its own, like not to overburden things, but yeah. Okay, so we've got 5 minutes left. I think that what I'm going to do is make a new document that pulls out these bullet points from the communication and give it some headings and turn it into a draft. And I think I will include the responsibilities section just so it's a straw man for people to react to. And that way people have a chance to think about things and read and comment, which is sometimes a little easier for others to get their thoughts out. So does that sound like a good action item for now? And I'll post in Slack when it's ready for comments. Okay. Any last words?
Jen, for the notes, can you name the document that you're going to be working on?
Breaking changes communication guidelines.
Okay. And is there this? I apologize that I'm not aware of all of this, but does this document exist somewhere that we can point to?
Not yet, no. And this is a little bit.
Oh, got you.
When Alameda was talking about discovery of things being a problem, it is a problem. So we'll actually also have to figure out where it should live. But yeah, Craig?
Yeah, apologies if I missed it. What about the PR? Is the TC going to weigh in on next steps there or no?
I, Mark.
Oh no, if you've got an answer to that, I don't have enough information to I was going to ask some follow-up questions, but if you've got an answer, go for it.
All I was going to say is that based on what we heard today and the additional context, it seems that we should recommend that UI courses merge the PR, except that things didn't go down quite the way we might have wanted, but that there's a good reason for the PR. The team has thought it through, and this is the change that needs to happen. So that's my straw man response, I guess. Wayne?
So I'm a new member on the TC. Surely the TC does not review PRs. I mean, surely we are not in a position to recommend that a development team accept or reject a PR. I mean, we can talk about processes and we can talk about, we can talk about whether guidelines were followed or might have been followed better. But I mean, I certainly don't feel comfortable saying, yes, you should accept this PR. I mean, I don't know the code.
So that's based on my read of the discussion, the read of the issues. You're right. I didn't review the code, but my understanding of the situation. And I guess in terms of what we, there's always this question of what we can and can't do. And at the same time, we can offer a recommendation. There's nothing that I can do to force someone to accept a PR. That's true. But I don't think we've heard anything today that would make me go, yes, it's on the side of good to refuse to accept this PR and have this situation be extended. Zach?
Just like looking at the discussion where, you know, the developers involved are saying, hey, if there's problems with breaking changes, you should take them to the TC. Like that's sort of the context of how this landed, I think, on this agenda for today. I think Wayne makes a good point in that TC is probably not usually a collection of folks who are well placed to review PRs, but as you said, you know, are well placed to describe, you know, we think that protocols or policies or recommendations, you know, were followed here or could have been better. But, you know, I feel like, this is hard to phrase, but maybe there can be an endorsement of, you know, we feel like we need to trust that people are acting in good faith and are providing, we're encouraging them to provide good context to allow you to make good decisions, right? Like to my argument about friction and rocket ships earlier, it's like, what we can say is we acknowledge that there's friction and we're asking you to deal with it too, right? Like part of this is asking teams to communicate better about breaking changes. I think an important thing that we also discussed was, part of this is explaining to teams that they're going to have to sometimes accept breaking changes because that is the nature of the universe, like it or not, right? Like, okay, you don't like this. I'm sorry that it came urgently. I'm sorry that maybe you disagree with the architectural decision. This is the architecture that we have right now. You know, please try to deal with it. I don't know that that maybe falls short of reviewing a PR. At the same time, maybe it's somehow still an endorsement of the work. I don't know if there's a way to state that in a way that isn't a technical PR review, but I sort of feel like maybe that's the thing that's indirectly being asked for here. You know, is the TC okay with people making breaking changes? And I think the TC is saying, yeah, wish we didn't have to do it so much, but sometimes we do.
Well, and in fact, we have a body of documentation that we've discussed this before. There's an RFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not right. Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah. Mark?
I'm not part of the TC, so I probably shouldn't weigh in on this. It feels to me like we can do all of the stuff about our guidance and get that ready. It kind of feels to me like we don't necessarily, we've talked almost entirely about that. We haven't talked about whether we think the change is the right change or whether we think folks should do it. It feels to me like if that's what the folks were asking us to do, was to make some sort of like, was to mediate on whether this is the right change, rather than whether this was the right way to go about making the change. Then that's a different topic. And if they really want us to weigh in on that, I don't know how we could say one way or another whether we think that's right. I mean, to be fair, the TC has usually stayed well out of that, apart from the really big decisions.
Right. I think as either Wayne or Zach were saying, like we acknowledge there's breaking changes and acknowledge we have a process for it. And nothing that has happened is really outside of our process. It's not about the code quality or something. Kalila?
Hey everybody. As a PO of the teams that made the breaking change, I think the between the the folks who have concerns about the breaking change and the team that made the breaking change, I don't think there is an ask to review the code at all. I think what folks are asking is for the TC to provide a recommendation or guidance. About as far as how to proceed. And I think if you get if the TC is comfortable in stating that the process that Spitfire followed it was followed properly. Now, granted, maybe could add some more information, maybe been a bit more informative, yes, but that we followed the process and that we also made it very in that the and we made the changes and we're not asking other teams to make those changes. I mean, just to say that you guys are, you find that the process was followed and that this is okay, and that yes, you're considering ways of refining the process. I would hope it'd be enough for the parties who have expressed objections to proceed.
Thank you, Kalila. Mark?
Just quickly on that, does the TC, and this is on the previous members rather than the current one to a certain extent, do we need to accept some responsibility? Because as far as I can tell, we didn't actually publish this guidance, right? Like, the folks are asking, did they do the right thing? Did they do this the right way? And one of the things I think we've said during this conversation is we didn't actually do all we needed to do to put out there what we think the right way is.
So I guess what I would say to that is within those notes, there was commentary about things like creating the pull requests and so forth. And it states that at one point it was standard operating procedure. I think that may have been during the tech lead's time. I mean, it was discussed, the notes are published. They were kind of reflecting what people were doing at various points in time. So I guess I personally, I would still feel comfortable saying, yeah, this team did something that is within the range of how the community behaves.
I think we just need to be careful about the wording there, because there's a difference between saying we think this fits within the norms of the community versus this fits within the published guidance or policies of the TC when we didn't really do that. I understand we did put it in meeting notes, but we acknowledge we've got a discovery challenge, and that's with stuff that's separately published. Teams definitely aren't reading the TC meeting notes to know what they should do.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Sorry to speak without raising my hand, but I know that fairly recently we reviewed our charter, and there's a responsibility in there about mediating disputes, right? Isn't that exactly what this is? Regardless of whether it's in the context of a pull request or a Slack conversation or whatnot.
Yes.
I think the challenge we've got is that we're mediating on, we're not being asked to mediate on the change. We're being asked to mediate on the how folks went about it. And part of that mediation means acknowledging that we as a whole community didn't really have our ducks in a row in terms of actually having like well just easy to discover and well-defined guidance on what those norms should be. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we shouldn't say stuff. I'm saying we should acknowledge that, a team couldn't have known. We can't hold teams to standards that we haven't done all we can to communicate.
Okay, I'll follow up with Kalila after this, and I will also get that new document drafted, and the new TC will have the opportunity to work on discovery of our documentation and trying to make it better, the ongoing documentation battle we all live in. Okay. All right, thanks, everybody. Feel free to message if you want to follow up on anything from today or think of more that you want to say. Right, thanks.
Thanks all.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.